Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.
We greet you in the name of all that is good, all that is sacred, and in the warm and loving energy of this community, Spiritual Life Center. If you're joining us for the first time, we especially want to welcome you because we know that you are not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Thank you for joining us on your unique path today, and we hope you enjoy this special message from this past Sunday's service.
You know, last month I had a birthday. I woke up that day and I said, man, you're maturing, James. And I said, I want to do something special for myself today and something I hadn't done in a long, long time, maybe about 25 years or so. I said, you know, I'm going to get a pedicure. I don't know, it just popped in my mind. I'm going to go ahead and get a pedicure. So I went out. There's a place that was nearby where I was going shopping for some things. I said, well, they got to walk up. So I walked in and they looked at me like, you know, what you doing here? And and I said, you know, like, today's my birthday, and I want to get a pedicure. He said, oh, happy birthday. Come back in about an hour, and you can get right on in. So I came back, and I realized that since I hadn't done this about 25 years, it's almost like I had been away. And I didn't realize that, you know, they had landlines at one time, and now they have smartphones. So they had all these bells and whistles and stuff about what they do with your feet and hands, and they had some hot wax that they put around your feet. And they asked me at one time, well, what fragrance do you want? I said, fragrance? Well, give me the purple. And that worked out so well, and I realized that it made me feel so good. It kind of lifted my vibration to a whole different way that day. And I think because of that, I was able to see more and more good, attract more good, accept more good. Which kind of leads me into my topic for the day, which is acceptability, receivability, and demandability. You know, the first part of that is about the consciousness of acceptability. The consciousness of opening ourselves up and accepting the good that God has already given us. It's already here. You know, there's a statement that says, before they call, I've already answered you. You know, we're looking for stuff, but it's already here. And so that good is Spirit's infinite supply. And understand, when we talk about supply, we're not talking about something that's material. It's not necessarily even visible. You know, this is a spiritual quality of the presence of God. And it's as spiritual as love, as spiritual as peace, as spiritual as harmony, as spiritual as beauty, spiritual as wholeness. Supply from a spiritual perspective. Today, as there's the old Bible days, or in the Bhagavad Gita stories, or in the stories about the Quran, supply is not a supply of something. Supply is that infinite grace and the goodness and the givingness of God that is everywhere present. So we want to tap into that supply. And I think what we need to do is kind of put ourselves on a training program. And I want us to think about ourselves as part of that training program. That you and I are training the universe, and you and I are training ourselves to determine how people will treat us by how we treat ourselves. How we treat ourselves. You know, there's an old statement that says you train others how to treat you by how you treat yourself. And to the degree that you treat yourself magnificently, and you've enrolled the entire universe in your training program as to how you shall be treated. So we must be accept on a deep level. We must accept on a profound level that not only do we deserve the best, but we are the best that God has to offer. We're the highest expression of this presence that we call God. So in that vein, we want to take time with ourselves. We want to talk to ourselves nicely. We want to encourage ourselves. We want to love ourselves. So even when money comes, you know, we don't always just run out and pay the bills first, or they have to be paid, but really pay ourselves first. You know, scheduling that wonderful appointment with the presence of God. That's kind of what I felt like when I had that manicure, and they roped me into a pedicure too, and they had a whole bunch of other things they wanted me to get. I said, well, that'd be enough. But I think when we begin to take care of ourselves and have that appointment, we're enrolling the entire universe in our training program on how we shall be treated. Because it's literally impossible to accept the goodness that God wants to give us if we're not training the universe to respond to our deep and pure intention and how we're treating ourselves. It'd be impossible for us to walk around not giving ourselves enough time, not giving ourselves enough encouragement, not giving ourselves enough love, not taking care of ourselves, and then expect anyone else or the universe to respond in kind. That would be for the universe to act out of its lawful nature. But we know this universe acts lawfully. And if God's song is not being played for us, if we're not having the music being played for us, if we're not singing the song for ourselves, if we're not reading the poetry for ourselves, if we're not taking those good works and words for ourselves, then God cannot move into that chamber of our heart and give us what it's already given us, because we will not be able to accept it, because we're not vibrating at the level of all the good that's here. So to receive our good, we start by treating ourselves well. And this is not a selfish in a human way. It's divinely selfish. So we want to say with certainty, I am the best that God has to offer. Because we were created as an image and likeness, and we're magnificent phenomenons of this presence. And therefore, it's my duty, it's my responsibility, my charge, my mandate to fully accept this power, this presence, this love, this beauty, and let it shine as me. We want to remind ourselves that all the time we're an important dynamic in the scheme of things. And then when we begin, we start vibrating, like I said, so that we can accept and receive what the universe is always willing to give us. You know, there's a statement from Nikola Tesla. He was an inventor and an engineer, and the Tesla car is named after him because he was involved in a lot of electricity. And he said to us, if you want to know, if you want to find, okay, what did he say? Yeah, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, think in terms of frequency, think in terms of vibration. So we begin to accept ourselves on a very high level, then we'll begin to attract that same frequency in our life. And then there's receivability. There's a statement in John, the first chapter, the 12th verse. But to all who received him, he gave power to become children of God. Now, we might update that a little bit. And they would probably say something like, as many as received the power, as many as received the presence, as many receive the divine, then that Christ in our life, that power of God within us, begins to be part of who we are, and it takes us over. Now, you know, receptivity and receivability smacks of being vulnerable. We have to be vulnerable, open, and receptive. There has to be an openness. A vulnerability means that we have to be pliable and flexible. You know, I think for something that is surrounding us to saturate our consciousness, we got to be open to it. And so, more often than not, that vulnerability comes sweeping in our life during a time of crisis. And sometimes when that crisis comes, we have to let go of what we think we know and say, God, I can't, you can, let God do it. You know, I remember a time when I was kind of the low point in my life, and, you know, I had reached that bottom. You know, drugs, alcohol, my life had just disappeared. It just hit a low point. And I was in a state of crisis, no question about it. And I ran across a person who knew me and knew about me and kind of saw the possibilities within me. And they asked me that day, did I want any help? And up until that time, I was denying that I needed any help. I thought, yeah, I'm good. I'm cool. course, everything around me was showing the otherwise. But that moment, I had that moment of vulnerability, that moment of being open, receptive, and being humble. And so I said yes in that moment. And that led to me learning about these teachings, you know, going to ministerial school, you know, going back to a ministry and then going to CEO and then ending up here at SLC today. But it's almost as if we're encoded with a wake-up call that we have placed there before we took this human life. And we said to ourselves, sometime before we step into this dimension, if I fall asleep, let me encode myself. And if I get off track a little bit, if I fall into a human perspective only, if I begin to live somebody else's dream or fantasy, that a crisis will occur and we'll be pulled back into who and what we are and be vulnerable enough to catch God's idea, God's vision for our life and walk that path. More often than not, there's a degree of pliability and vulnerability that sweeps upon the human heart during that crisis. And we probably have been encoded with some kind of inner remembrance, some sort of wake-up call that's calling us back to center. That may appear to be in the human condition as a loss, a sudden turn of events that will make us vulnerable enough to catch our real meaning and purpose for being here on the planet. You know, as we hear a lot about the coronavirus, you know, I wrote something the other day just as an aside, and I think I wrote in there when I sent out that, well, you know, you have to be careful of the media that we watch because, you know, their thing is to create sensationalism because that's their business model. And you can't necessarily listen to the government officials. They want to kind of keep things low because they want to get reelected again. And then, you know, and I didn't know who reads this, but remember Donna Appadoni works with NPR? So she sent me a little note, and she said, well, this is my camel. Not everybody's trying to create sensationalism in the news, so I think I need a retraction or something to provide some qualification that there are some places you can go. But anyway, I'll let her know about that. But the whole idea is that this coronavirus really is reminding us how we are interconnected on a human level, a spiritual level. So there's something that we need to be reminded about, that maybe this crisis is to realize that we can't create a sense of separation between anyone on the planet. We are part of one spiritual family. And if any time we begin to sense a sense of separation, then we realize that this brings us back to the realization there's only one thing going on the planet, and we are interconnected on that soul level, and we want to see ourselves from that perspective. And I think in order to stay open and available even after the crisis passes, we must begin to add to our prayer work, to our meditation time, a space in which we say to ourselves, you know, I'm open. We have to have that beginner's mind. As the Zen Buddhists say, you know, be open and receptive as if we don't know anything. There must be a time in our prayer work where we're sitting down after we've talked to God, after we've listened, after we've spoken, after we've gone through whatever our particular rhythm or routine may be. There has to be a time where we finally say, you know, everything I may be doing may be absolutely wrong. My intention may be absolutely pure in heart. My intention may be right on, but I may be wrong in what I'm trying to do. I may be trying to accomplish something and going for something. And so in that prayer, we simply say, God, I don't know anything. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know anything as we talk to this presence. Let me just be open and know that every little thing is going to be all right. As little Bob Marley says, every little thing gonna be all right. Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing gonna be all right. So we keep that in mind, that maybe we don't know anything, but we also know that everything's gonna be all right. And if we add that to our pure spiritual practice, a spiritual humility will take us over where we don't have to realize, we think we have to know everything. With that kind of openness and that kind of humility, that kind of receptibility, the Spirit of God reveals itself as the next step. God reveals himself as the answer. This presence that knows everything becomes our guidance and our direction. God reveals himself as to whatever it is needed to fulfill that next part of our life. You know, I was at a conference several years ago, and I know that sometimes we sing some of the songs from Ricky Byers. And there was someone that was asking her a question and about the choir that she had, because she had this huge choir, 175 people, and people were asking her, how did she do it? How did it happen? And she said, I don't know. All I know is when I don't know nothing, God can tell us everything. That was wisdom, a certain open receptibility to saying, I don't know. Let God reveal it to me. And then we can move into demandability. And I think we can place a demand on the universe corresponding to the point where we are yielded to our purpose. We got to yield to our purpose first. I think we cannot make a demand until we've yielded to our unique purpose for being here. So many people want to demand the universe to do this or try to tell this presence what to do for us. They want to have all their needs met. They want to demand abundance and prosperity. They want to demand this or that. But they are not in league. They're not in harmony. They're not in tune and not in alignment with the reason for being here in the first place. To the degree that we're living our purpose, we can then make a demand because we are in tune with what God has to offer. We're talking about a level of commitment to God's vision for our life. Whatever stage of life we may be in, now we have different intentions and visions, you know, different when we're in our 30s or 40s, they're different when we're 50s and 60s, and I'm affirming different when we're 70s and 80s and 90s. But whatever stage we're in, we need to just be all in for that intention at that stage of our life. Because whenever there's a commitment and we're engaged it with our heart, there's a tremendous amount of spiritual energy that is released that up until that point would not be released until we've engaged that commitment. But when we're committed, things begin to happen because we're in tune and we can demand what we need along the way. And that means we're not making somebody do something. We're simply claiming the good. And when we claim our good, it happens when we're in tune with what we're here to do. You know, I remember when I was I was getting ready to go to continue my schooling, law school, and I had been working for a couple of years and saving up money. And just before, you know, I was getting ready to go, my father passed away. And so we needed that extra funds to kind of help the family out at that time. And I didn't know what to do. So I decided, well, I'm just going to show up anyway. So I drove up there and I talked to the people in the powers to be, the dean's office or whatever it was at the time. And lo and behold, they was able to find whatever I needed to get through that first year. But I think it's because I had made that commitment. I was in alignment with what I was supposed to do at that moment. You know, even if we're committed and we're moving what we think is the wrong direction, we'll be sidetracked at some point and we'll be placed in the right direction. But if we're not committed to anything, we'll just kind of drift aimlessly about and we'll bear witness to the common thoughts of what's happening in our society. We'll get caught up in that kind of low vibration. But if you commit yourself to something, even if it's so-called wrong, we'll eventually run into a wall, and it'll stop us. And then we'll take the talent and skill that we've been developing along the way in that wrong direction and use it when we get back in the right direction. You know, you may have heard this statement that when it's your will, there will be a wall. If we're thinking using our own might and power, we'll run into our own wall if it's not in tune with a higher idea. So even if we're committed and it's not our purpose, we may create a crisis to wake us up and get us back on track. I think that's the nature of this universe. It energizes anything that's in alignment with it. So we want to get in alignment with our purpose, and it energizes ourselves as individuals. It energizes our businesses, our communities. It energizes what we're here to do. When we're in alignment with why we are here, there's an inexhaustible energy that sustains our effort. You know, probably all of us have developed moving in that direction and, you know, maybe in the wrong direction. But even then, all the stuff that we've accumulated over time, the intensity, the drive, the patience, all of that is used for that good that we get back in tune with. As they say, there's nothing wasted in the universe. We look back and realize that everything that we accumulated works out okay. You know, there's a gentleman I know who became a minister. I think he's in Denver, Colorado. And he was a former gang member, and he went to, you know, prison for a number of years. But then he came out and started creating a foundation to help young kids who were getting off track. And he said that everything that he learned along the way was able to communicate with them so that they would no longer go down the path that he had gone in his life. So all the things that he thought he had done wrong were useful for him to help others in some way, shape, or form. You know, in our own so-called little life, if we're making commitment to move in the direction of our vision, dream, or what God has in store for us, and we're taking a step in that direction and making that commitment, even if it's wrong, it will be helpful to us later on. And we'll begin to hear God's idea for us. If we lowly listen, become still and quiet, it will direct us in the right direction. Because we are the best that God has as far as we're concerned. And when we get in tune with who we are, we can demand anything. We can wake up and feel our alignment with our purpose. And it'll respond to the voice. So we talk about moving into acceptability. We want to train the universe by how we treat ourselves. And then there's vulnerability, reserving a place in our awareness where we just don't know, but we're open and receptive to being guided. And then, of course, we commit to something. And energy will be released. More energy will come forth to sustain our endeavor. Because our endeavor is in alignment with God's idea for our life. And we're living with our purpose. There is so much within all of us. There is so much talent and ability. Our purpose is large. So sometimes if we just act as if I have a magnificent and mighty purpose in my life, and it's not merely to live life in physical comfort, which is okay. I like feeling comfortable at times. That there's a good and wonderful something called the kingdom of God that has more for us. But there's a purpose beyond that, that smacks of heaven on earth and beauty and loveliness and spiritual companionship and worldwide fellowship. And it all begins by how we treat ourselves. And then being vulnerable enough to say, I don't know, on a regular basis. I call that positive ignorance. There's negative ignorance. Negative ignorance is when we don't know, but we don't know that we don't know. But we're walking around thinking that we know. You know people like that. They don't know. They don't know that they don't know, but they think they know. That's negative ignorance. Positive ignorance is when you don't know, but you know you don't know. That's all right. Now, God can be there in that positive ignorance. And then we can demand anything. I'm telling you to wake up and feel in alignment with God's purpose for us. To say with certainty, with authority, all right then, I'm working for God. Everything's going to be all right. Demand anything to unfold in the most perfect way because we're working for this presence. We can demand beauty and loveliness around us because we're working for this presence. We can demand and see it, even when it's not physically apparent. We feel it on a deep level. That even when the emotional body would have us do otherwise, we are in tune with something greater to ourselves, and we redirect it in the right and perfect way. And then we become still enough to catch the blessing, to feel the bliss that has nothing to do with external circumstances at all, and to know that we could demand anything, and it will be met. So I'm telling you that the kingdom of heaven, which is ever-expanding good, is at hand. It's invisible, intangible, but it's always there for us. It is within us. We just have to accept it. We just have to receive it and then move into our purpose, and then we can demand anything that we need along the way to make it happen in our life. Acceptability, receivability, demandability. Peace and blessings to you. God bless.
We are grateful for the opportunity to share with you today and hope you've taken something from this Sunday's message. If you'd like to hear more from Spiritual Life Center, be sure to click subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening from. You can find out more about our community on our website at www.slcworld.org. We look forward to being a part of your continued spiritual journey. Wherever you are, God is, and all is well.
Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
One heart.